On the Pace, brought to you by Bling It On and For a Reason. To book your mare this season, go to cobbertyequine.com.au.
On Racing HQ.
Racing HQ.
Here's On the Pace.
Smolder lifting, too strong. Smolder. The Kiwi has won the Endomainian.
But it is all Lazarus clear of Tiger Tara. And once again, Lazarus has arisen.
27 to 11, we're going to go On the Pace now. The man to do that is Greg Hayes. Morning, Greg.
Morning, Cozzy. Big show coming up. We've got our four guests. First up this morning, we'll have a chat to Karen Manning, who became the world's most successful horsewoman last week when she drove Mr. Mojito to victory at Terang, and she went past Julie Crone, who was the is the American Hall of Fame jockey. She rode 3,705 winners in her career, and Karen has gone past that. So we'll catch up with Karen this morning to have a chat about that feat. And also today, I want to speak with Matt Rue, because it's been a good season for him. Of course, the season wrapped up last week. He took until the very last meeting of the season, but he was able to bring up 100 winners. He drove to Penrith and competed there on Thursday night, picked up a couple of wins. The first one gave him his 100th winner for the season. So have a chat to Matt Rue this morning about that feat. Also this morning, I want to speak with John Dumazy. He is the CEO of Harness Racing New South Wales. There's a little bit to have a chat to him about with different things going on in the sport at the moment. And I want to have a chat to Josh Gallagher this morning. Now, the surname Gallagher, well-known in harness racing, but Josh is a young fella who has started his career the right way. He opened his winning account with his first race drive at Newcastle on Saturday night, so I thought we'd get Josh on. Now, he's had to get permission. Makes me feel old. He's had to get permission to get out of the class to come and talk to me. So I'll have a chat with Josh towards the end of the show. Hopefully that's getting near recess time or morning tea time or whatever they call it at school these days. So it'll be good to catch up with Josh on the program. Now, Karen's about to join us. Just want to mention, too, the New South Wales Premiership winners. Of course, the Premiership wrapped up last week. Well done to Amanda and Steve Turnbull. Amanda winning the New South Wales Drivers Premiership, Steve the New South Wales Trainers Premiership, and the Metro Premierships were wrapped up the Saturday prior. Todd McCarthy winning the Drivers Premiership and John McCarthy winning the Trainers Premiership in the Metro region. So well done to all of those. But Karen Manning, she has become the world's most successful horsewoman. With that victory at Terang last week when Mr. Mojito was too strong, she went past Julie Crone. Massive, massive achievement. And she's joining me on the show to have a chat. Morning, Karen.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Really well. Congratulations. Has it sunk in yet that you're the world's best?
Yeah, I guess that might take a little while. But, it's a pretty good achievement to have passed. And, very pleased to have done so.
Are you someone that that's big on stats, or do you just take them all in your stride?
Yeah, no, just as they come along, someone usually lets me know. But this time, the Terang meeting was on. We were having some lunch before we left, and I read it on Facebook, so I didn't actually know till that afternoon. So, it was nice to get it done and dusted pretty quickly. Sometimes I get a bit stuck and for a winner when I went on that break a record. So it was nice to have done it so quickly, and, with a nice horse too.
The fact that it was Mr. Mojito and obviously the Butterworths have played a big part in your career, especially in recent years with the win in the New Zealand Cup. But did that make the achievement all the more special?
Yeah, it was good to get it a winner for Merv and Meg to break the record. They've been great supporters of mine and supplying them with a lot of good horses. So, that was very pleasing. I think Merv was pretty happy with it too. And, and he was such a nice horse to get the win on. He's got a bit of ability, that one.
You started your career back as a 16-year-old in 1993, and now we're through to 2017. You're still young. You're the leading female driver in the world. What, obviously working long days, working 7 days a week, it takes its toll. Are you happy with how everything's going for you and Grant at the moment?
It's funny you say I'm still young. I don't feel young most days. Like you said, you work long hours. You harness racing isn't that easy. you know, you've got to love it to do it. So, like you said, it's still enjoyable. I am trying to get numbers down a little bit. I think the more you have, the more stress you have. So, but, you know, the horses are all going well at the minute, which also helps a lot and makes you want to get out of bed a bit better. So, Grant does a lot of flying with the IRT and he's away a little bit more of late, so that makes it a little bit tougher. But look, got good staff and people behind me to, you know, it's a team effort really, then it's not just myself. So yeah, we're going okay at the minute.
Yeah, and so obviously from what you're saying there, there's you'd be happy to have a smaller team, but there's no signs of slowing down for Kerryn Manning.
No, not really. I'm not sure what else I could do, so I better keep doing it for a little while longer.
What about some feature races coming up? You've obviously got some talented horses in the barn. What's the plans for the stable stars?
There's Amaretto obviously is probably, the main aim for the Victoria Cup at the minute. Like, she's sort of proven herself. She's probably worthy of the start, and she'll go around in the tailor-made Lombo, which is, I think, the 22nd of this month. And if all goes well and she equips herself well there, she should be lining up, hopefully, in the Victoria Cup. It's going to be pretty tough, but look, she's earned her spot, I think, and you don't get many chances to run in races like that. So we'll head there with her, hopefully. Mr. Mojito, he's a bit hot and cold at times. He's certainly got the talent to be in races like that, but, you know, his last run was really good, but he'd sort of need to do that again to be worthy of looking like getting a start in a race like the Victoria Cup. But you never know. He could get there. And Idol Success, he ran much better again on the weekend. He's another one who loves the longer distance cup races, so he's sort of got some of them coming up in the near future. And there's a few up-and-comers, but yeah. They're the main stay at the minute, those three.
What about Amaretto? She has just been an unbelievable success. Her recent form has been brilliant. She just seems to have gone to another level, and the maturity that she's now got, she looks very capable of matching it with the best boys in the country.
Yeah, she does. She does. She's, you know, it's hard to, you know, she's always been a good horse her whole career, and I guess you get to a point where you get on a hard mark and the races, there's no easy ones. So I think that was happening to her in Sydney a bit, where she was drawing bad over the short distances and they're pretty hard to beat up there. So her form was probably not as bad as it looked when she came to me. And yeah, I guess, she's enjoyed herself here. I think she's the track seems to suit her. And then the racing and here, less travel, I think, too. Ashley had to travel a fair way with her each time she wanted to race at the Nemgul. So, yeah, you know, she certainly hit some good form and she seems to be holding it really well. And she's a very exciting horse to have. She's very fast. She's got a lot of high speed, which can, you know, that wins you a lot of races at times if you can get the right run with it.
Speaking with Ash last week, she mentioned that she was pretty keen to see the mare go across to WA and compete in some of the mare's races there during the Inter-Dominion campaign. Is that sort of the long-term aim after the Victoria Cup?
Yeah, I think so. She still seems to be going really well. I don't see any reason why we wouldn't try that. There's obviously a few nice mares in Perth, but it's certainly this track's not going to worry her over there, and she's the form she's in, she'd be pretty competitive against them, and there's some, you know, nice money races. So, you know, that's the main aim after Victoria Cup, if she's still going well, yeah.
You've had an amazing career that's taken you to Europe. You've had success there. You've obviously had success in New Zealand, winning that New Zealand Cup. And you've probably been asked this a fair few times the last week or so since you've broken the record. But what is that one achievement that you will hold special for your entire career? What was it, Knight Pistol and what he did over there in Europe, or was it winning the New Zealand Cup? What's that one thing that means the most to you?
Yeah, I guess Knight Pistol was, it was such a long time ago. It's sort of, but at the time, you know, it was pretty special. It still brings back really good memories, and for a horse to go travel that far overseas and have the trouble he did when he got there to win a race was pretty amazing. And the way the crowds were over there, you still remember when you go out on the track, there's just you know, they played your anthem and they all cheered, and you know, it didn't matter where you were from, they still accepted you so well, and it was just a good time. But I guess recently the New Zealand Cup is, you know, the highlight. It's again, travelling with a horse is not that easy to do. And in their biggest race, to beat their best horses was, yeah, especially to train and drive it was, you know, makes it that bit more better.
Does the experience you had taking Night Pistol across to Europe, does that help you now these days travelling horses, you know, a short distance to New Zealand, or whether it be to Perth for the Mayor's races for Amaretto, that experience that you had of trying to get Night Pistol to settle into a new environment, is that something you still use to this day?
Yeah. His main problem was he tied up quite badly. I think his trip was like 56 hours from when he left here to when he got off over there. So it was, you know, pretty hard on him. And, yeah, you sort of learn from that about what to feed him and stuff like that as well. So, yeah, it's certainly, all learning curve each time you go somewhere and different tracks you have to train on and stuff. So, yeah, it's a bit different. But Grant usually takes the horses and looks after them, and he, you know, he does a really good job. You know, he's certainly a big part of that, that's for sure.
It's amazing. Andrew Kelly, myself and Chris Lewis were over in Norway only a couple of months ago. We were over there for having a look at the whips over there, and it's amazing how many times we're introduced as Australians and the first thing they want to say, oh, Night Pistol. So they obviously still remember him very well over there as well. Congratulations on the achievement of becoming the world's leading horsewoman. That's something that you're always going to have, and all the best of luck in the big races upcoming, including Amaretto in the Victoria Cup.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that very much.
No problems. There she is, Karen Manning. She is an absolute major asset for the sport of harness racing, and to get that victory last week at Terang, something special for her, and now she can set her sights on 4,000 winners. I think 3,702 or something like that in Australia. And then, of course, New Zealand and wins in Europe. So Karen has had one fantastic career. We swing now to have a look at the performance of Matt Rue after he picked up another 100 winners in the season. He should be congratulated for that. It had been a really exciting close to the season for Matt. Of course, when he was here in Sydney, going back a few years ago when he was driving for the McCarthy stable and was one of the lead or was the leading junior in the state, things were pretty easy. But obviously when you lose your claim, things change and you've got to start again. And Matt was able to do that, and he's starting to put a nice team around him along with his partner Gemma Hewitt. And that 100 winners in the season wrapped up last week. 100 on the knocker. 2 years in a row. He did it in 15-16 as well, and he's joined me on the show to have a chat. Morning, Matt.
Morning, Greg. How you going?
Mate, really well. Congratulations. You took a while to get there, but you got there just before the season finished.
Yeah, it was pretty nerve-wracking there towards the end of the season. It all sort of started with a really slow start to the season, to be honest. It was sort of 3 months into the year, and I'd only got about 10 winners up, someone told me the other day. So, yeah, really slow start, and that made it quite difficult at the end there to rally him in.
In the last couple of weeks of the season, did you contemplate getting to the 100, or did you think you were just gonna miss?
So about 6 weeks out. I still had a lot of wins to get, but it was plenty doable. I thought it was only about the 6 weeks out, I thought, well, we might give this a real good crack, and that was sort of when Bernie and Doug were good enough to throw me on some of theirs from time to time too. Doug sort of plenty busy enough with football and that, so on the weekends I was taking a few of their horses to Dubbo and things like that to sort of try and notch up a few extra ones. And about 2 weeks out, I still had 11 wins to get, and I sort of thought that was nearly impossible. But that day we went to Dubbo and got four, and the one day really put us in good position for it.
Now, coming into that last meeting on Thursday, you needed the win, and he's Razor Sharp provided it in the first race.
Yeah, well, again, them two horses were sort of really only put in just in case I didn't quite get the four on the Wednesday night, because leading into Bathurst, I needed four winners. I managed to get three, and in the final race, I was probably thought it was the best drive of the night, and that was just run down. So then we moved on to Penrith, and the first one I really didn't give it a huge chance, although with the draw it was always going to get a nice run. I really thought that Taylor Hood in the second draw was the best chance of the night, but as it turned out, it was the other way around. He's razor sharp, got a dream run, and got out at the top of the straight, and were able to get there, and which was good because Taylor Hood was just beating the nose in the later on race.
So you ended up with 100 wins and 136 placings from your 574 dries for the year. Mentioned that you got the 113 the year before. So 2 years in a row, you've picked up centuries. And I think what would be pleasing for you and also Gemma in the last 12 months has been the emergence of the stable as well, of Gemma training winners. So that obviously helps boost your numbers.
Yeah, that's right. It was about October last year we sort of needed to expand our numbers a bit. We were stabled out at Bernie's place then, giving him a hand, but we could sort of only have five or six out there. And then we moved into the showground in town, and we sort of got anywhere from about 15 to 20 at most times, and sort of starting to get a strong bunch of horses around us now. Obviously, sort of got the one standout there, 408. He had a really good season for us. But there's a few nice young ones sort of due to come back in, like Call Me Queen Bee and Sporty Ranger and a few ones like that. And we've sort of got a few CO horses there at the moment that are aiming up for the Canola Cup and Country Series races that are all more than capable too.
Well, let's have a chat about 408 because he had a fantastic season. Are you confident that he's going to be he'll be able to take that next step into the racing, the metropolitan racing that he needs to at Menangle?
Yeah, definitely. Well, he's already assessed an M1 now because when he won the Mount Eden Stakes, that took his MO status away. So he'll come back to C7 M1. But yeah, I'm more than confident that he can take that next step and become like definitely a really good Country Cup horse. Anyway, we've looked after him all along the way. Tony's been really patient with us along the way. He's only had the 28 starts, I think, and he raced at 2, 3 and 4, so quite lightly raced. And after the Breeders' Challenge final again this year, he went out for another 3 month break and he's due to come in next week. So he's a really big sort of overgrown horse, so that's why at the end of each season we've chose to give him a nice break and just sort of let him develop a little bit more. And each year that we've done that, he's come back better and better. So if he can do that again this year, I really think we can look at some nice races along the way.
And you mentioned Call Me Queen Bee. She had an amazing season. She won two and she banked over 20,000 for connections, but she made the final of the Tiara. She drew barrier six in the final. She ran seventh. And then she also made the APG final. And there she drew the second row and she finished sixth. So for a filly, she's underrated, really. She's won two from eight and she's been placed on three occasions, but she gave her connections, a lot of them who were first-timers, an absolute wow of an experience into harness racing.
Yeah, that's right. That syndicate sort of headed up by a good friend of mine, Ben Hagney. I purchased her at the Sydney APG sale and didn't really have anyone to go in her and just absolutely loved the filly, so I just bought her and rang Ben on the way home and just said, look, this is what the go is, and would you like to go in her? And he said, yeah. And so I got a few friends that probably wouldn't mind tagging along either. So there's five of us in her, and it's a really good syndicate. We have a lot of fun together, and three of them are first-timers, and they really had a ball when we travelled down to Melbourne. They went down, stayed the week, and made a real thing out of it, and it was really good. Like, she only ran sixth in that final, but they felt like they won it, you know what I mean? They had a wow of a time for the whole week, and she's going to come back. She's due to come back in a couple of weeks before. She's going to come back a smart filly. Like, she went 54 there, beating Rattray's filly there at Menangle one day in the APG heat, and it went on to win a Group 1 and also another placing. So the form around her runs has really stood up, and we were hoping to sort of drag along into the season a bit more for the Breeders' Challenge, but the trip down to Melbourne really took quite a bit out of her, and I sort of like giving the young ones plenty of time, so hopefully being patient with her as a two-year-old might pay dividends at three this season.
Well, mate, congratulations on the 12 months, another 100 winners, and you and Gemma doing a great job. Well done.
Thank you very much.
There is Matt Roo, leading one of the leading drivers out there in Bathurst. The boss of Harness Racing New South Wales is John Dummersey. There's a fair bit to talk with John about this morning, including the Evolution Series, and also want to touch on the Metro Handicapping System. We're a couple of months in now, and it looks, for mine, as an outsider, to be working really well. John Dummersey, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Mate, the Evolution Series, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's a series aimed primarily to have three-year-olds, that's two-year-olds graduating into their three-year-old years, race earlier in the season, and that's certainly happening. Whilst we haven't got real robust numbers in the heats, we've got a heat at Bathurst tonight and, of course, tomorrow night, rather, and Penrith on Thursday night. We'll go into a $20,000 final at Menangle later in a fortnight's time, but it's about giving horses... three-year-old horses that are Breeders' Challenge eligible, a good shot at some fantastic money. So all credit goes to the owners, the Breeders' Association, to the clubs that are helping contribute the money to the $10,000 heat. So it's all systems go, and we hope the trainers and owners support these races.
Yeah, it's a good concept. It's a chance for people to keep their horses in when a lot of people do turn their horses out, and you do get the chance to race for good money. How's the Metro Handicapping System being viewed by those that are in charge of the sport? As I said, from an outsider, it looks to be working really well. The fields are strong. The fields are very, very hard to assess. So it makes for good wagering, you'd have to think. But what are the figures telling you?
Yeah, early days. We see no detriment as far as wagering is concerned, but it's only a small sample to date. It all looks well. What can I say? There probably will need to be a little bit of tinkering if we continue with this at the end of the 3 months trial. And like I advised you previously, 3 months becomes 4 months by the time we get our wagering figures in and start us analysing it all. But no, it looks promising. The fields are strong. There, back before we turned into September, there were fields actually folding over into the Tuesday meetings, and they were proving to be very good betting vehicles as well. So the Metropolitan Handicapping System, very black and white, very clear to owners and trainers, so yes, and punters as well, how these horses get into the race. So it's thumbs up at this stage.
What's happening down at Wagga?
Well, Graham White's doing a wonderful job down there, as you would expect, but as far as the track is concerned, we should hear this week from Water New South Wales in relation to the final tranche of the flood modelling. We want to make sure that we're building this this track and this facility so that it doesn't affect our neighbours, and that's the final component to go there. So it's it will be built on that site. It's just a matter of what dimensions the track is, and that is with regard to above the current ground level.
And one more thing I want to touch on. Chris Roots had a story the other day. Racing New South Wales has banned the use of vehicles to lead horses in training at racetracks throughout the state, leaving smaller country trainers looking for different ways to get their horses fit. What's the rules in regards to that for harness trainers?
Well, on tracks, on properties that are with racetracks, you cannot lead a horse outside of a vehicle. That's been in place for a long time. I was in charge at Menangle Park, Tabcorp Park Menangle, and we didn't permit it. There are jogging machines, and these horses go on jogging machines. But I must say, anybody that does it's just foolish. It's a very dangerous practice. Anything can happen. A horse can stumble. You could run over the horse. The horse could get away from you. It's just a silly thing to do. And Racing New South Wales, of course, are very proactive and banned it. But it shouldn't be shouldn't happen on a registered track in New South Wales, harness track. What people do on their own private properties, they do, but it's a dangerous and foolish thing to do.
All right, well, John, thank you for that, and we'll catch up with you again in the next month or so for another update.
Thanks, Greg.
There he is, John Dummersey. He is the boss of Harness Racing New South Wales. Now, a couple of youngsters drove their first winners over the weekend. Want to congratulate Hayden Liu, who did it at Dubbo on Sunday, And I thought we'd catch up with, I tried to get Hayden on the show today, but he's actually sitting school exams. And as mentioned, I thought we'd catch up with Josh Gallagher, who's been able to slip out of class to have a chat to us about his first winner on Saturday night at his first race drive when he drove Our Quinn to victory for Kerri-Ann Turner at Newcastle. Josh is joining me on the show. Morning, Josh.
Hey, Greg.
Mate, congratulations with that win on Saturday night. That must have been a real buzz for you, picking up your first win at your first race drive.
Yeah, it was. Thanks.
Mate, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in the sport.
I sort of did it. Mum and Dad did it throughout their lives, so just sort of picked it up.
And of course, Mum and Dad, Damien and Felicity, and they've obviously had success throughout their involvement in the sport as well. You've spent a lot of time with Kerri-Ann Turner and Robbie Morris, and how do you enjoy that?
Yeah, it's good fun. They're always helping me with me driving and that.
And do you get a bit of advice from Dad as well?
Yeah, Dad's always given helping me too.
And what's the dream for you in terms of involvement in harness racing? You're obviously still at school, but is it something, harness racing, is it something that you want to do full time?
Yeah, it is. I'd like to be one of the best drivers in New South Wales as I get older.
And who are some of the people that have been helping you with advice and tips on how to become a better driver?
As you said, Rob and Kerry, they helped me a lot. People like Luke and Todd, Chris.
They've all been very helpful to you. I spoke with Robbie Morris, gave me a call just before the show started because I know that he and Kerri-Ann are just having a little bit of a break today and you're going to be driving their horses this afternoon. Well, your second drive is Celestial Arden. Now, he was a winner on Saturday night. He looks a pretty special type. So they've given you the keys to one of their nice horses this afternoon.
Yeah, they did. I like to thank them as they gave me a good drive.
It should be pretty hard to beat if he repeats the performance from what we've seen the last couple of starts.
Yeah, he's going good.
He is going good. Well, mate, look, I just wanted to get you on to congratulate you. It won't be the last time that you're asked for an interview. I know we're going to do something for In the Gig on Saturday night when we're out at Menangle. You'll do one of our Young Gun interviews, but we wish you all the best of luck in the future. And I think Josh Gallagher is a name we're going to hear plenty of in the future.
Thank you.
There is Josh Gallagher. He's only 16. He opened up his winning account on Saturday night, and I've had the opportunity to speak to a couple of pretty good judges around Sydney, and they tell me the kid will make it. He's very, very smart, very talented, and knows how to get those horses running. So he might be a name that you might just want to put in your little black book. He's obviously only had the one race drive to date. He'll have a couple more this afternoon. He drives Sweet As for Kerri-Ann in race 6, and he'll drive Celestial Arden in race 7. And I would say there's chances Celestial Arden to be the better of those. But I think you'll see more of Josh Gallagher in the future in the winner's circle. Cozzy, that wraps up a show.
All right.
And I'll be back again next Tuesday to do it all again.